You're listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
Now this is pod racing.
Did you notice? Do you get Spike TV or whatever channel that is? Is it FX?
And they did the marathon.
They were showing those fucking movies on end for like 48 hours. Yeah. It seemed like, that was the channel that my TV was tuned to.
I wonder when their contract is going to be up, because
I feel like it should have been up by now.
Like, is Spike's not an ABC company, is it?
No, I don't think so.
And Star Wars, now the mouse owns it. Yep. And you'd think that they'd be like, uh-uh.
It'll be on the Disney channel.
Do you think they're going to make like a Disney sci-fi channel?
Oh, you know what's going to happen.
Like Disney sci.
That's what we need, another Disney channel.
But I'm just saying, they could then focus on Star Wars stuff and Tron and like all their science fiction properties. They just bought Indiana Jones.
Yeah. They can make a whole Lucasfilm channel with all the properties they have now. Yeah. Roll out those old Young Indie
The Young Indiana Jones. They just added those on Netflix.
What?
Yes, sir.
Guess what's getting added to my Netflix queue? there's some good episodes.
If you remember them being good,
I was too young.
They're not that good.
You know what? 90% of them, I'll be more generous. 75% of them were pretty awful.
Flannery ones were pretty decent.
Oh, what are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about the ones with young kid?
With the young kid. There's three stages of young Indiana Jones. There's littlest kid who wears like the pith helmet.
Yeah, those
Then there
the
was
worst.
Like a preteen version.
Was it?
And then Sean Patrick Flannery was like the River Phoenix.
Yeah. No, the council does not recognize anything but the Sean Patrick Flannery, young Indiana Jones.
Powder.
But, yeah, exactly. That's how I like to refer to him. Or Boondock Saint.
Boondock Saint.
That's how I like to refer to
Powder,
as well.
Man. The powder. So, wow.
Hey!
Welcome to 2014.
Here we are.
It is the Editing Bay on the Next Wave Radio Network. We are your editing baiters. My name's Joe.
And I'm Joel.
And we are back to talk about some movies. And we had such a good time back in 2013, the last month of 2013.
So long ago.
With our month of holidays, mm-hmm. that we've decided to extend it into this first episode of 2014.
You know, it's only fitting. My Christmas trees are still up. My house is still decorated. I have not had a chance to take that shit down.
Yes.
So it's like, you know what? Fuck it. Still feels like Christmas around
just
my house.
Just like in real life.
Watching movies.
We forgot to put the decorations away. Or we procrastinated.
Mm, I like them.
And we looked at do we call this a holiday film? Do we call this a film?
I was like, the word film should be bandied about loosely.
Yes,
referring to this.
So it's
a work.
It does have a Christmas theme to it.
Yeah,
and the movie we're talking about is the Dan Haggerty Christmas horror.
Yeah.
Project called Elves.
Yeah. ELVES.
I don't know how this got on my radar.
Yeah, Jeff was asking that too. It was like, where did you hear about this? Where did this movie come from?
I saw a trailer for it on YouTube. And was like, oh my God, this looks amazingly bad.
Mm-hmm.
Grizzly Adams fighting like elves, and not elves like Buddy the Elf, like these troll looking things.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, let's start there. This movie should not be called Elves at all.
But they couldn't use troll.
They couldn't use troll, but don't then call it like goblins or something. Because
I'm sure goblins was being used. Ghoulies was being used.
That thing is not an elf. When you say elf, you think of the fucking Legolas.
Yeah.
Or
the Keebler elves.
Or Dobby. Dobby the house elf.
Dobby. Didn't he die?
What, spoiler alert. Jesus,
oh my
Joe,
gosh.
For our listeners.
Am I ruining it? I'm sorry.
Jeff's throwing his hands in the air. He hasn't gotten to part eight.
Like Jeff is going to watch Harry Potter.
I don't know. He sparks me as a
Harry Pothead.
He could. Oh, let's see what you did there.
I wish I made that up. I wish I could coin that. All right. So this story. I wish you could have been a fly on the wall while I was watching this.
I saw that post.
Because I've never watched a movie and just like had to pause it and go, what?
Really?
What? What? What is happening? I have no idea. Why? Why did that just happen? This movie is crazy. This movie is absolutely nuts.
It's insane.
Like, I feel like an 8-year-old wrote the script to this movie,
mm-hmm.
like with his tongue sticking out of his mouth and like kind of giggling to himself. And he's writing down, yeah, and then this is going to happen.
It does seem very juvenile.
So it's the story about, it starts off with these three girls and they're in the woods.
Yeah.
What was the main girl's name? Julie?
Oh, gosh.
I can't remember her name.
24 hours ago, and I couldn't even...
I think her name was Julie. I think her name was Julie, and she's with her two friends, Amy and Brooke.
Sluts du jour.
And they're hanging out in the woods, and they're like, this meeting of the sisters against Christmas or whatever will now be convened. And they're about to, like, perform some ritual in the woods and then decide not to... But Julie ends up cutting her finger in the course of this.
And she doesn't cut her finger. She, like, slices her palm open. Like, it's a gash.
Yeah.
It's a wide. Well, that sounds awful when I say it like that. You know Julie. That wide
that
gash.
That gash. So she does. She cuts her hand. She draws her own blood. Mm-hmm. The blood of a virgin.
Right.
And I guess completes some mystical rite that conjures forth elves. Evil elves.
Not even elves, just one elf, right?
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't this be called elf? Well, just elf was taken.
Well, it wasn't at the time.
That's true.
This came out in 1989.
In an alternate universe, the Will Ferrell movie would have been called Elves or The Elf.
Or Buddy the Elf.
Or Buddy the Elf.
That would have been it.
Yeah.
All right, so she goes home. Like, her buddies are like, all right, well, I guess we'll catch up later. Mm-hmm. They don't really explain why there's this weird occult thing, like, why they want to, like, create magic and spells. Yeah. I have no idea why.
You get the impression it was really kind of all Julie's doing. Like, she's disgruntled. She has a horrible, horrible family that she comes from, which we'll detail here in a second. We should also point out that this movie is totally 80s. Like, everything about this movie.
Yeah, no, it's totally 80s. But the thing is, like, it came out right on the cusp.
Yeah.
And so there's some weird, like, production, and I'm, again, using every term that we're about to use talking about this film, again, very loose.
Yes.
It's very loose. It's like somebody finally got their hands on price-to-own camcorder equipment and finally decided, hey, I'm going to self-produce a film. I've got enough money in the budget to hire Grizzly Adams.
Yeah.
I don't even think they paid Dan Haggerty money. I think they paid him in booze and cigarettes.
Probably. He's constantly smoking throughout this entire movie.
Dude sleepwalks through this entire film.
You're saying that, like, he wasn't bringing his A game? That may have very well been his A game. I don't know that he had a lot of acting chops before this. Anyway.
I have to say, I know the movie Grizzly Adams is kind of legendary. I've never seen it. So I have no idea, like, the quality of which. But I'm just saying, like, it was a classic. People have always talked about it.
Yeah.
And I've never heard it talked about in, like, a negative connotation or context. So I'm thinking, oh, Grizzly Adams, it's probably about some dude who lives out in the woods. It's probably pretty decent, but I've never seen it. The dude cannot enunciate to save his life. I had to rewind every time the man spoke, because I never quite caught what he was saying.
Very soft, kind of under his breath. Now, although I kind of respect his acting style, especially when it's juxtaposed against everybody else in this movie who's
doing dinner theater.
I was going to say, it's like high school theater actors. Yeah, it's really bad.
I don't want to dwell too much, because this is the kind of movie where if we dwelled on, like, trying to tell the story and, like, hash that all out, we will be sitting here for 3 hours re-examining over and over again. Is that what this was? Did this happen?
Suffice to say, it involves, like, Nazis and a little bit of the occult and an elf that's not really an elf. It's more like a troll or a goblin, and some high school angst and Grizzly Adams.
Yeah.
And Santa Claus.
Yeah. Well,
so put those in a blender and this is what you get.
Okay. So we find out that the elves are a product of the Nazis.
Right.
The Nazis wanted to use elves and mate them with a pure bloodline to create the master race.
Not quite sure how that works out logistically. Or how they came to this conclusion.
My brain was about to explode when Dan Haggerty goes in and I can't even continue because I feel like all this information is, like, flowing into my my body, and once it hits my throat, like, it's all bottlenecked. I have no idea where I want to go.
I wish The listening audience can see you right now because you're just like flabbergasted.
Just bug-eyed. So Dan Haggerty was a police detective.
Yes.
All right.
We find that out early on.
He was a police detective. He lost his job because he boozed up too much.
He's a fucking alcoholic, man. Look at him.
And then he got a job as a mall. Was it a mall security guard or was he just a department store security guard?
I think
a
department store security guard. The majority of this film takes place in either
in
Julie's
Gollum's
home or...
Gollum's the department store.
Yeah. That's what it's called. G-O-L-E-M.
And he lost this job because of the booze.
Yep. Can't.
So it starts off like he comes into this Gollum's place and he's, you know, goes in, talks to the boss. Hey, I made myself sober. And his first line, I had to rewind because I was like, what did he just say?
I got my 8-month chip. I got my 8-month chip and I'm ready to get some work.
What are you talking about?
Nobody
I have
does.
No idea what you're saying. But suffice it to say, Through context clues, you figure out, oh, he got his chip, his sobriety.
Yes.
He's looking for a gig again. Luckily, the department store Santa gets murdered by an elf.
It's very convenient.
Stabbed in the crotch over and over and over and over again.
It's really gruesome.
But it's so weird, like, how that happens. Julie and her friends are at the store, and they're like, hey, I've got a break coming up. Let's go goof on Santa.
Yeah. This is what teenage girls do in the 80s, right?
This is goofing on Santa. She sits on his lap because she's going to goof on him.
Yeah.
But then he makes a pass at her, and she smacks the shit out of him.
Who's the joke on, really, I would say?
I don't know what that was. Like, was that her plan?
And her little skirt.
To tempt him to do something so that way she could hit him? It seems very malicious of Julie, but then again, maybe we're supposed to expect that because she's trying to conjure demons in the middle of the woods.
And this is all like a byproduct of the family that she came from. So who do we have at home? We've got like this evil stepmom. No, it's not stepmom.
It's not her stepmom. It's her real mother.
We find out later. Oh, we find out later. It's her real, kind of a real mom.
Her grandfather.
Quote, finger quotes.
Are we going to seriously bury this lead and then like wait and reveal
it
later?
No. I just want to say that the type of environment she's got home. So she's got this old Nazi sounding grandfather. He's got this, doing this horrible German accent.
Grandpa dad.
He's in a wheelchair.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then her brother.
Her little pervy ass brother.
What? And she's in the shower.
Okay.
He's like peeping on her in the bathroom.
This happens early on. Yeah.
And she catches him.
Yeah.
And he says.
Oh my God.
Do
I have it written
remember
down.
Remember the actual quote?
Actually, I don't have it written down, but I did have to rewind
she
it and
says,
watch that again.
She says something. She's like, oh, I can't believe it. You're looking at me. He's like, yeah, I looked at you because you got the biggest fucking titties, and I'm going to tell everybody.
That's exactly what it is. Oh, my God.
What?
Why would you? First of all, you have a sister. I have an older sister. Can you imagine like sneaking in on your...
No!
There's nobody else who's less sexualized in your life. Maybe your mom, maybe your grandmother's up there too. I don't know.
Was one of my notes was that whoever wrote this movie obviously didn't have sisters.
Yeah, or did, and they need to be monitored heavily.
Yeah. Again, pause the movie.
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
What? What is happening in this
it
film?
It is so creepy to see this. And
this
is like
only
a 12-year-old.
That's 7 minutes in.
Yeah. And this is like, you know, what was he, like 12 years old? Maybe 10.
Easily, yeah. He's got his Ninja Turtles
so
pajamas
here's his little
on.
Kid. He's cursing up a storm. He drops the F-bomb in like the 30-second scene that he has like 20 times. And he has to say, I'm going to tell everybody that my sister has the biggest fucking tits. Like he is reveling in this moment where he just caught his sister.
You have the biggest fucking tits, and I'm going to tell everyone at school that I saw them.
And he's like, "What? I don't care. I like seeing naked ladies."
What?
This is so
That's
awkward.
Your sister, man.
Yeah. I feel bad for the director. Or whoever. Can you picture on the set?
The parents.
The mother.
The mother just sitting there. Oh, look at him. He's what? I wonder what he's about to do. I wonder what's going to happen.
I'm picturing like a month in advance when he's auditioning for the part. And
I like
they have
that
the
you
script.
Called it a set. There was a set for this
the
movie.
The house.
The house that was
the director's
lit
house.
By a flash. Like, there was no lighting in
well,
this movie.
When you're shooting on VHS, you don't have to worry about lighting. These are luxuries that aren't afforded.
When you're paying Dan Haggerty's salary.
And again, do we know that he got paid? We don't know.
I'm pretty sure he got paid in cigarettes.
I think he thought maybe this was going to be his big break. This is also like past his prime Dan Haggerty. He's put on a good 50 pounds. His hair. He's continued to let the hair grow out because how are people going to know he's Grizzly Adams if he doesn't
his
have...
beard and his his coiffed
They've
hair,
become
dude.
One at this point. Like, you don't know where the hair starts and the beard ends or vice versa. It's glorious.
I liked it when I was watching this movie. I enjoyed imagining that this was just a documentary and they were like following Dan Haggerty around in real time.
It's Christmas time at the Haggerty's.
Because most of the movie is Dan Haggerty just looking depressed.
Oh, wow.
And just sitting alone, chain smoking,
yep,
and like just talking to himself.
Getting locked out of buildings. It's pretty sad.
Yes.
Poor guy. Oh, damn. Should have put the tape on the doorknob again. You know what, though? I'm going to take a moment to talk a little bit about
ahead.
Dan Haggerty, though, because by the end of the movie, I learned to respect his acting style.
What?
Like, he's the only person I think who actually believed what was going on set. Like,
what?
He is in the moment, man.
What?
There is an evil elf. Yeah. There are Nazis tracking me down. He has several fight scenes in this movie where he just, like, takes Nazis to task, like, bare fisted.
What? And he's
giving it his all.
He's grunting to himself while it's happening.
I really think he thought this was going to be his comeback.
I like that he told Julie, at one point he tells Julie to go home.
Yeah.
And then realize, like, he's being followed by one of these Nazi guys. And that's when he's trying to get the lighter to work in his car because God forbid he isn't smoking a cigarette.
Yep.
He's trying to get the lighter to work in his car and five sticks of dynamite fall out from under his dashboard. A bomb. He finds a bomb in his car.
That's a poorly and grabs placed.
It. And rather than open up the window and throw it out, he throws himself from the car.
It's like, dude, that's your car. It was all part of his plan, though, because we see, you know, the Nazi drives up later.
What plan?
His plan to beat the Nazi.
He could have thrown the bomb behind him and then blown up the guy's car because the dude ends up dying anyway. It's
I know,
not
but
like
then
we
there's
anything.
No diversion. He
but
needed the diversion.
But that's where I was going, is that he grabs the guy and he starts punching him over and over again in his face. And he goes, "Where's Julie? Where is she? You told her to go home." Like, that still hasn't changed.
That's right. Probably where you sent her.
So why are you asking
That's
this dude?
I like that shot, though, by the way. Like, that was the most expensive shot in this movie.
When the car blew up?
The car blows up. And if you go back and watch it, it's all done in one take. Car blows up. Like, he barrels out of it.
Because they could only shoot that one.
That's why I'm
they
saying,
only had
yeah.
one camera.
But
it's
I'm
not
saying
like
it's
they could cut to a different view.
It's ambitious to say, all right, we have one car, we have one bomb, we're going to blow it up, and then we're going to continue the scene. The Nazi car pulls up, and then Dan Haggerty comes from behind and, like, pulls him out and beats him. I was impressed. That took balls to get that shot.
Wow, you are stretching for some kind of positive thing.
You know what
thing.
There? I put myself in the shoes of the director. And
really?
No, not really. No, I can't apologize for this piece of shit. You know, something else about... So the movie's called Elves, and we've spent the first half of this podcast talking about fucking Dan Haggerty and Julie and the Nazi grandfather.
I think we focused more on elves than they did in the movie.
You're right, yeah. It should have been called elves.
Because we've at least tried to explain where the elves came from. Because they don't even really explain where that elf came from.
No. It's like, did they choose the right part of the... Like, where are they even? What part of the country does this take place in?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's any town in America,
I
basically.
Don't know. Well, somewhere... I imagine somewhere in, like, the north.
It seems Midwest.
West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with one of the Dakotas, maybe.
That sounds good.
It's cold.
I mean, where the hell would Dan Haggerty be?
I don't know. In the woods with the bears.
So the elf at one point attacks the boy, the little boy.
That's the first, like, vicious moment we see the elf.
And they blame it on the cat. Or the mom blames it on the cat.
That is a horrifying scene, by the way.
When the mom captures the cat.
That too, but what?
And then drowns it.
Oh my God.
In the toilet.
It's
not only is it disturbing to watch, but whoever did the Foley for that.
I know.
What? It almost sounded like the cat was talking.
Hey, Bob, we're going to need you to take that microphone, that shotgun, and go get some Foley. What would it sound like if you just drowned a cat, you know, and it's fighting the entire time? In a bag, too. So it's got to be muffled. It's got to be in a pillowcase. It's awful. That scene.
How did he get that?
I want to know. Why
was
this?
Was that someone doing a cat voice?
Probably.
At some point, it sounded almost like it was a person.
I could have done
mimicking
that.
A cat.
Well, PETA definitely wasn't on the set for this movie,
no.
So they could have actually drowned a cat, and no one would know.
And the way the mother took so much pleasure in drowning, we didn't explore, because we do find out, like, some traumatic shit happened to Julie's mom.
You want to get into that now?
Yeah. Julie's mom's father, okay, Julie's grandfather is also her father.
Yes.
And
he fucked his daughter.
To create a master race bloodline, specifically for, in the future, an elf to mate with to create the master being.
Again, this is a needlessly elaborate plot.
It's so weirdly elaborate. Like, there's so much stuff, so many weird, like, twists to the story that don't matter.
Yeah.
At all.
Again, the whole incest, the fact that Julie's now inbred.
Yeah. What we didn't need. Things we didn't need.
Yeah.
We didn't need to murder the cat.
Oh,
we didn't
know.
Need this weird scene where the little boy is like, I saw your tits and they're huge.
And it makes it even more uncomfortable later on when they're like hugging and she's consoling him.
They're having like a little tickle
this is
war
the fucking,
at one point.
That too. Yeah. It's like, there's some weird sexual tension going on. Although I guess if your entire family's inbred, this is bound to happen.
You're giving the screenwriters way too much credit that they're like, yes, of course this family would be weird because this stuff happened. I feel like a whole lot of this stuff was just like the director, who is also the writer, kind of coming up with stuff on the fly.
Either that.
Do this and do that.
Either that or worst case scenario, this was his childhood. He had a horrible mother.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
He was the little brother who was peeping Tom on his sister.
That is terrifying.
And his grandfather.
And he was a huge fan of Grizzly Adams.
Fucked around inside
and just wanted Dan Haggerty to rescue him.
Who wouldn't? He's big and cuddly.
I would not.
You just want to hug him.
No, he looks like, he is like latter John Candy. Like just about to
Canadian
die.
Canadian bacon John
Canadian
Candy.
Canadian bacon John Candy, where you just felt horrible. I felt bad watching him the entire time.
I know. And when you said, the Dan Haggerty movie, and I'm like, okay, I made the connection that, okay, this is Grizzly Adams. And then I'm watching this and I'm like, oh my God. Oh, and he didn't have it. He didn't produce it or anything. This wasn't his idea. So somebody approached him and he had to really swallow his pride and be like, are you going to do your little VHS movie with this low-budget troll?
I haven't done any work in about 10 years, 15 years.
No,
I may as well.
No-name actors?
You got cigarettes?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Dude is smoking all the time.
Yeah.
Goes to a library to do research on the occult. Because at some point he gets the Santa job after the other guy dies.
Yeah.
And they just have him working where there's the chalk outline.
I love
the
that. Taped outline. And he talks to him.
He talks to him. And at one point he looks down, he sees like some kind of occult thing, like etched into the ground.
It's like a sickle with a Nazi swastika.
What is this? I've seen this before.
I love your Dan Haggerty.
He's every time, like, the dude talks to himself like fucking Popeye the Sailor Man.
I know,
like, the entire time.
What is this? I've seen this before. Thank you. So
he sees this symbol and he goes to the library and he's like, hey, a long time ago I saw a book about the occult. Where can I find that? and she's like, occult studies and sciences, and tells him, and I had read up on this, that it would be in 666.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And he turns around and he's like, you're kidding me, that's a joke, right? And then walks off. Like, there's no reaction. He just, like, says shit. It's like there's no acting. He's just reciting stuff as he memorizes it.
He also,
I found out that if you are in a library based on the Dewey Decimal System, 666 would put you in fine arts and crafts.
Oh.
Ceramics. Yeah. So the next time you're in a library, you're not going to find any occult stuff in section 666.
So basically what you're saying is the production crew, the pre-pro, didn't do their due diligence.
They didn't do their due diligence. They were just trying to get, like, they're trying to impress people with the mark of the beast.
It all comes together.
That's where it's going to be. Okay. So what were you saying?
I was just ruminating on his look in this movie, and he kind of looks like, and maybe it's just because I saw The Big Lebowski recently for the first time, but it looks like if the dude and Walter mated, this is what would come out. Because he's kind of got the hair and the locks, but he's dressed like the dude throughout this, just like a loose fitting t-shirt.
Yeah. Yes. No, you're absolutely
some
right.
Socks.
So he goes to the library to research on this mark that he saw, ends up, this is where he comes back to the store because he's got nowhere to sleep.
No.
Apparently they foreclosed on his trailer and he couldn't get into his trailer.
I know.
And you know he can't go anywhere else because he sits down and goes, I got nowhere else to go.
It's a good thing we wouldn't have known that as the audience, so thank you for thinking out loud.
So he goes back to the store, and that's when he finds out, like, the door's locked and ends up trying to find a way to pry himself in. Meanwhile, we find out that why the door's locked, these girls have come back to the store.
Yeah.
Julie and her friends, Amy and Brooke, they've come back to the store, and they're getting all slutted up.
Yep.
Because the plan is they're going to have sex, not have sex, with three dudes that they know.
Yeah.
They're like going into the lingerie section. They're still wearing lingerie with price tags on it.
I like that. Yeah.
But like they don't have any intention of sleeping with these guys.
No.
But they're getting all like tarted up for them.
This is the 80s. It was a, innocent, more innocent time.
They're They're getting ready. They're getting makeup put on. Do you remember this? They're getting makeup put on, and Dan Haggerty hears something, like he hears the chicks, because he ends up getting into the store.
Yeah.
He hears something going on in the store, and he goes walking out onto a balcony, and he looks down, and he's like, oh, great, and sees them getting ready. And then they cut to a reverse shot of him walking away, the loudest footsteps, but they don't notice that he's up there.
And their mind is focused on one thing.
Cock.
Cock.
Yes. So... What happened? The guys show up?
Guys show up. There's like a secret knock on the door. I guess that's how they get in. They've set up tents. And this is the part that I thought that was creepy. They were going to not have sex in these tents that were, you know, 10 foot adjacent to each other.
Uh-huh.
This sounds like the most unromantic, unsexiest
again,
night ever. Like,
again, I'm going to go back to what you said, that this is probably what the dude lived through. Like this guy, this was either his childhood or what his ideal childhood would have been.
Fucking chicks or not fucking chicks.
Fucking chicks in a department store.
Yeah.
Right near the Santa display.
In the outdoor section.
So the guys end up getting killed, or at least one of them. One of them gets killed by these Nazi gangsters.
That's right.
That have decided it is time to come and visit the family. Because
I guess
they
she's
heard...
of age now.
Well, no, but I mean, didn't they say they're like, ah, so the elves have returned?
Yeah.
Like,
he knew.
How did they know?
There's some sort of subplot with the stone. He's got like half the stone, the Nazi does, and the grandpa Nazi has the other half of the stone. And when it comes, do you remember that part?
I don't.
Okay, because it plays a crucial role in the climax of the film, Joe.
I do remember the stone. I remember her getting the stone. I don't remember the other guy having part of the stone, though.
Oh, maybe I'm making that part up. Maybe I was stoned.
You would have to be. You really would have to be. These Nazi guys killed one of the dudes.
Yeah.
And I guess that's supposed to represent that all of them got killed. And
yeah,
they want the virgin chick.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in and they shoot up the place, but they want her alive.
A piss poor job.
They're doing a horrible job. They kill her friend.
Yep.
Who's in like the white lingerie.
They just point blank to the head.
Elevator. In an elevator. Dan Haggerty, when he finds the first dead body. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's going to be a bitch to clean up. That poor guy. He's seen a lot of action in his time.
Dude, I'm just still...
I know.
Like, watching him was so... It was so sad watching him. And especially in this moment when it turns into the big action shootout sequence. And we're not even really halfway through the movie at this point.
Oh, no. This is well into Act Two.
And so he ends up finding, like... Apparently the Santa display is right near like the gun display because he takes cover right near a couple of the chicks and he's like, hand me that ammo, give me that gun. And they just start shooting it out in this department store. Meanwhile, like one of her friends starts getting murdered by the elf. Like there's so much happening in this sequence at this moment. There's Nazi gangsters.
Yep.
Shooting and killing people or trying to kill people. Meanwhile, you've got this troll elf thing that's also trying to track her down.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much. It's too much, Joel.
It's representative of the film as a whole in the sense that, again, you can almost say we haven't mentioned this elf very much because he really doesn't play too much in the plot.
No.
It's almost like he was an afterthought. Like they had this whole story with the Nazis and the incest and the master race.
Uh-huh.
And we needed we got a hold of this 2-foot costume. You know, I, watching this struck me as, and I had this thought, with what was the movie Thanksgiving that we did where I was positing that they just got a hold of this like fucking
this turkey
puppet and they were like, well, what are we gonna let's make a movie out of this puppet. That's what this troll or this I keep calling him a troll. Well, this elf costume feels like.
Uh-huh. Well, Julie kept calling it a troll throughout the whole movie.
Everybody calls it a troll because that's what it is. This is not an elf at all, but whatever. Copyright issues, trademarks, I understand.
My head hurts.
I do like this scene. So let's go with the scene where the troll finally murders
this chick, and like he's cutting her up, but nobody sees this happen.
Nobody sees it happen, and I felt like she didn't have the urge to live. Like she wanted to die the way that she was not trying to get away from this troll.
Not at all.
He slices like her calf, maybe, you know, with like a 2-inch. What was he? I have his claws or nails. So that makes her...
I think he had a knife.
So she can... Oh, he does have a little knife.
Yeah, he had a little knife.
But it's not like he cuts the Achilles heel or anything like that or any crucial tendons.
No.
He just kind of stabs
just
her.
Just kind of slices you.
And so now she's unable to walk. And she's like she's doing the slowest crawl. Like when you're in danger, when you're being chased by a dog or God forbid, a 2-foot troll, a demonic Nazi troll... Your adrenaline kicks in. You want to get the fuck
kicking.
Out of there.
You kick a lot.
Yeah, exactly. She's like using her arms and just does a lot of screaming. Meanwhile, this thing is inches away from her face and she's just like letting it caress her and slowly kill her.
Yeah.
I don't really think she wanted to live.
Murders
she
her.
She hated herself.
Meanwhile, I guess Dan Haggerty chases off the Nazis.
With his guns.
Mm-hmm. And they hang out and call the police, and the police come and they check things out. And that's when we have, again, it doesn't mean anything, because I'm going to keep saying this over and over again until eventually me saying the weirdest part isn't going to have any value whatsoever. But that being said, this is when the weirdest exchange happens.
Oh, yeah.
When the captain, the police captain, shows up,
yeah,
and he's checking things out, and he's like, "What's going on?" Like, this is the same guy who accused Julie of killing the mall Santa.
That's right,
because they had an altercation beforehand. Mm-hmm. And so he and Dan Haggerty are talking. He's like, "Yep. So you're saying that it was an elf? You're saying that there was an elf out there? I don't think so. I don't believe it. You gotta go with me on this. You gotta give me time. I'm gonna figure this out. You boozed away your job, and you boozed away another job, and I don't know. I'm not about to put my ass out on the line." And Dan Haggerty's like, "Yeah, because you never do that. God forbid." And then, like, apparently that's the plea that got through to the captain.
Yeah, yeah.
And the captain says, "Fine, I'm gonna give you 24 hours. What?
This is 20, the worst police 20, work ever.
Yeah, 24 hours. What? Dan Haggerty isn't a cop.
No, yeah.
What are you giving him 24 hours to do?
He's outsourcing this, like, triple homicide.
Yeah.
That is probably the biggest thing to happen in this small
place. The place has been shot up. Yeah, shot up.
There's a body count all over the place.
And they're talking about, like, the manager comes in. He's like, "No one's going to want to shop here tomorrow. It's Christmas Eve."
He's like, what? Andy Dick, that
yeah,
store owner,
really,
by the way.
He's like
Andy Dick's
Dick.
Father.
So, like, there's people have been murdered, like stabbed and yep. murdered, also shot in an elevator.
And there's a demonic troll.
There's
a
demonic troll
talking about.
Still on the premises.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still there. And this police captain is, like, why is he not locking up everybody?
Yeah, there should,
like,
be a perimeter
Julie,
around the building.
Dan Haggerty.
They should all be in questioning.
They should be in a fucking county lockup.
Yep.
Under massive interrogation. What the fuck happened? Instead, he's just like, "All right, I'm going to give you 24 hours. This dude isn't a cop anymore. Why are you giving him 24 hours? As far as anybody knows, Dan Haggerty could have gone in there with this chick and went, "Let's shoot the place up and let's stab the fuck out of this girl."
Yeah, a little Manson family
right.
thing going on here.
So instead, Dan Haggerty gets 24 hours to figure out God knows what.
Well, he and the captain have history, so maybe there's a prequel. Maybe there's a elf.
So that So that's when he brings Julie home, and, like, her family comes down on her. And in fact, that's when he was like, "I'm sorry, I brought you back here. I shouldn't have brought you back. I'm gonna go and look into this." Meanwhile, like we said earlier, the dude's ever smoking. He goes in the library. He's smoking while he's going through books.
It's 80s.
Smoking while smoking. He's ever got a fucking cigarette in his hand. And he's going in onto, like, a college campus. And to interview a professor.
That's right. Isn't this is my favorite scene.
He goes and he talks to this professor.
I love that the professor's like, "Oh, you're talking about the one that he does at home or in the library?"
No. The one in the library where he's still smoking. He's smoking on a fucking college campus. Now, I get it. It's 1989.
Sure.
And they didn't have the smoking laws that we have now.
I like that the teacher, the professor that he's interviewing also, like, has he's right out of Central Casting. He's got, like, the pipe and the glasses.
A vest.
The sweater vest going on.
And this is the prime dinner theater actor that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this guy is totally, like,
he's playing to the back row, as they say.
You could tell, like, he was the best in our town at his high school. And so that's what he's trying to channel. He's trying to channel Doc Gibbs mm-hmm. from our town in this movie.
He could have been a contender. And
so he's Dan Haggerty's like, "Okay, could you tell me anything about elves?" Well, yes.
Because a fountain of information.
And, like, that's how he talks. He's like, "Why, yes, I could tell you all about it."
Yep.
Like you think he's about to pull out, like, a box full of confetti and just throw it around.
I thought it was going to break out in a musical dance number.
Right?
Which he kind of does with that little sliding ladder.
The sliding ladder. He's got that pipe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the story he gives Dan Haggerty, trying to get back to to what's going on here in the plot. He tells Dan Haggerty the story about God wanting to destroy the world mm-hmm. and kind of basically telling us the story of Noah.
Right.
And that he spared Noah, told Noah, "Hey, build a boat and put these creatures on the boat." And what was described, what people keep glossing over in the Bible, is that all creatures, big and small, and that there was something described as the creatures that walk on 2 feet.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Must have been our elves.
And that's what it was. He said creatures that creep on 2 feet, also known as creepers, also known as elves.
Are they,
I'm totally paraphrasing here.
Yeah, no, but, pretty close.
What a weird, like, what a weird leap to take.
Yeah, yeah.
He must be talking about elves. Like, that must be it.
I like, it almost plays out like an episode of Scooby-Doo, where everybody that he goes up to, hey, do you know anything? Why, yes, I can tell you. Because the next scene after that, right, is where he goes to see the, because now he's following the breadcrumbs.
Oh, yeah, because the guy says,
yeah.
What is he? He said, also, there's a whole legacy involving the Nazis. There's a connection between the Nazis and elves. And Dan Haggerty's like, Nazis and elves? Tell me more about it. Like, at that point, I'd have been like, you are fucking nuts. And this must be, I must be standing in the clown college right now because you guys are fucking crazy. And so the guy says, well, I'm not as up to date on the Nazis. You might want to talk to this.
But I know who is.
Like, he says that as if Nazis are, like, still an evolving thing.
No, tell me about these Nazis you speak of. I'm not familiar with them.
But to say, I'm not as up to date on the Nazis.
This came out in 89.
Right.
This happened 40 years
Maybe
ago.
Maybe we could say, like,
I'm not
as well-versed. I am not as much of a professional. I don't know quite as much. My background isn't with World War II.
Yeah.
I'm not as up-to-date on the Nazis. Like
the Nazi story is still being told throughout history
today. Of course it is. Actually. It's a horrible script writing.
Yeah.
And so that's what leads Dan Haggerty to go visit the other doctor.
Yeah.
Who's wearing, like, he looks like a valet.
It's Christmas Day. He does look like a valet. He shows
it's
up
Christmas
at the guy's
Eve
house.
Still.
Or Christmas
it's still
Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Shows up at the guy's house. And they're like cutting the turkey, and he's got his family around, and he has to barge through the Guatemalan nanny to get to the dinner table.
Yes.
And this guy is incensed. How dare you come into my house on Christmas Eve? I have my family here. And Dan Haggerty. This is like the best scene. By the way, if you Google on YouTube, like the best scene of elves, this is the 2 minute chunk that you're going to get.
Because there's so much.
I don't know why. I guess it encapsulates the entire film in like this 2 minute. It's Dan Haggerty, Nazis, and elves, and hysteria.
And that's what Dan Haggerty's like. Tell me about the connection between Nazis and elves.
With a straight face, he says that line too. I'm laughing. I had to pause it at that point.
Yeah, again, another moment where I'm like, what? What is happening in this film? I have no idea what's going on. He talks to this guy, and the dude tells him, well, there are two theories.
Yep.
About the connection between Nazis and elves. One, elves would make the perfect assassins. That they're silent. They're invisible.
They're fucking 2 feet tall. How are they the perfect assassins?
They're deadly. They're silent. They're invisible. The only problem, they don't exist.
Well, then you can say that is a problem for anything.
You can say that for anything.
The thing about
beholders from the D&D universe. They're just giant eyes, so they see everything, but they're very deadly. The only drawback is they don't exist.
It's like the clitoris.
So how? Yeah. And so then he's like, and then number two.
And I like this theory better because it combines the occult.
And he says that.
What'd you say? Yeah, a little bit of evolution.
I like this theory better because it combines the occult with science.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he goes on to this whole thing about how the Nazis wanted to use elves to mate with German women to make the master race.
Of course. That's just good. That's hard science.
And what
that's fact.
He follows it up with, but again, unfortunately, elves don't exist. Like, this guy would have loved for that to have happened. But he's saying this with his two little daughters sitting at the table.
He's got a carving knife.
He's like, there's nothing more powerful than the sperm of an elf. And meanwhile, while he's saying those words, it is a tight shot on the two daughters.
Yeah.
And they're just listening like, oh, well.
A lot of inappropriate sexuality talk with kids in this movie between the little peeping Tom brother and the big fucking tits.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody in their sane mind would have gotten the fuck out of this neighborhood and never looked back. Just let the whole place burn.
I'd say the town in general.
Yeah, yeah. Because these people are all fucking crazy. These are all a bunch of crazy people, and it's not really a fucking elf. It's just probably some inbred dude in the mountains, and we would all be better off if the place was fucking leveled.
I want to talk a little bit about the production value here, or lack thereof. Okay. But mostly, okay, so
bring it.
you can make something scary. You can make something creepy. You don't have to have like the best budget. Look at Jaws. You know, they didn't have the shark wasn't working half the time, but the few times you do see it, it's used so effectively. This film is a perfect example of how not to be creepy. Like, instead of, you know, like slowly easing it. First of all, there's a lot of POV shots of like the elf at the beginning, like where you don't have to see it.
The most jarring too.
Because
you add the POV shot to that weird effect that they're doing and how dark it is.
Yeah.
You have no idea what you're looking at.
And part of that is the YouTube compression. We should also mention that this is not, you can't find this movie on Netflix.
You might be able to find it on video somewhere.
You can't find it on DVD. The problem is, and in fact, during my research, I found there's a petition online to have this movie released on DVD. Because right now, the only copy you're going to see is on YouTube, that bootleg VHS.
Yeah.
Or unless you have your own VHS copy.
Unless you have your own VHS copy.
Which if you do, why? Why do
why do you have this?
Get rid of that. Burn it.
You know what, though? I got to say, as much as I'm complaining about this, I had probably the best time watching this movie.
It's fun. This is one of those you get your friends around.
Yes,
you do a little drinky.
Uh-huh.
And put it on and laugh
because
at the
it is lunacy. It's absolute lunacy. So Dan Haggerty, with the clues given from the second doctor, decides, oh God, Julie's in danger. I better get back. And that's when we get to the point where, you know, he finds the bomb in his car.
Right.
And he's like, where is she? Only to find out she's where he left her.
Yeah, home.
And goes to rescue them.
Yeah, it's the big climax.
It's a weird climax.
It is.
Julie's mom reveals the whole, like, your grandfather's your dad.
Yep.
And then takes a bath. Decides she wants to take a bath. She does like the weird like Ace Ventura, or not Ace Ventura, the Billy Madison when his name does the lipstick.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, she starts kind of having a mental breakdown.
Yeah, she has a little bit of a mental
breakdown.
She's
applying the lipstick, but it's like she's pushing so hard and it's falling off into her mouth. It's really disturbing.
It's disgusting. And then that's like whoever decided like this chick, this is who we get to see naked
the
in
hot
this
chick,
movie.
Yeah. Of all the TNA we could potentially see.
Did not want to see Julie's mom
naked. She's, I mean, for, what do you think she is? Mid-40s, maybe?
She was probably in her 50s.
She's fit.
She was probably
in
her
50s. We can say that. And the tits look natural.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to get into it. I really don't want to even go into it. But
well, she gets
electrocuted.
Yeah.
The elf just throws throws a radio.
That's what you get for listening to the radio so close to the tub.
Yeah.
We all know.
And gets electrocuted.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, we've got Grandpa Dad, who's downstairs, and he's revealed, like, yes, I am your father.
But I fucked your mom.
I did not want to hurt her. It was against my will, but I did not hurt her. Oh, you're perfect, Julie. You're perfect, and I love you, and you're perfect. But he's downstairs, still, like, screaming for her. Julie. Meanwhile, Dan Haggerty shows up to save Julie and her brother.
Yeah.
And, like, busts in the door.
Right.
Meanwhile, Grandpa's nowhere to be found.
You know
and
what?
And he runs upstairs, and he's like, what's going on? He gets Julie and her brother.
Yep.
And they walk in. They look in the bathroom. He sees the mom electrocuted.
Burnt up.
And he's like, oh, get back. And he closes the door. He's like, she'll be all right.
Because like, where's mommy? He's like, she'll be fine.
She'll be okay.
She's not going to be fine.
She's a hot dog right now in the bathtub. She is not going to be. She is anything but okay.
I'd like to see the deleted scene where they break that news
to
the
pervert. Do you think there's a deleted scene?
Everything
they shot is on the screen.
Yep.
So they run downstairs. That's when Grandpa reveals himself.
Yep.
And like, this dude's a ninja. Then the other Nazi guys show up, and that's when Dan Haggerty gets into his big fist fight.
Yep.
It's all fisticuffs.
Production value.
The grandfather's trying to teach Julie how to, like, break the elf spell or whatever. Julie and the boy run into the woods, end up getting caught by the elf. She sends the little boy back to get the stone that's in the grandfather's study. Meanwhile, everybody but Dan Haggerty dies.
I know.
Like, everyone but Dan Haggerty's dead. The little boy runs back into the study, sees everybody dead, goes over the desk. The stone's missing. Then he gets grabbed by Dan Haggerty, who gives him the stone. He's like,
he's got it.
Take it. Give it to Julie. She needs it. Go. Run.
It was kind of unclear as to what happened to Dan Haggerty. How he survived or...
I don't know.
A lot of stuff we missed.
I like to think that he was put out of his misery and he died. I want to believe that Dan Haggerty died.
Is Dan Haggerty still alive to this
yes,
day?
Yes, he is.
Wow.
Yes. So
we probably could have got him on this podcast to talk about this.
We should try to make Elves 2.
Well, you know
we
what?
We should try to make it.
The ending, the sequel, the credits.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
To a sequel.
It leads. It's got a whole cliffhanger thing going on because Julie ends up killing the elf.
Well, we can't gloss over this, though.
The worst line in this movie. In fact, I'm not thrilled with it. I didn't find it funny. I didn't find it clever.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was offensive. Like, I was actually seriously offended.
More offensive than the boy talking about big fucking tits on
his
sister.
Yeah, right. It was. It was more offensive than that. And it wasn't because the little boy saying, like, because you got big fucking tits. Like, that was creepy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what? It was funny.
Yeah.
This was fucking offensive where she goes and she's got the stone. You know what I'm about, what
yeah,
I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And apparently she's supposed to stab where the elf came from in the woods.
Yep.
And what does she say? She's like, die, you little, I can't even say it. I can't even bring myself to say it. Die, you little faggot.
Yep.
And like, what?
You
who writes that?
Cannot get away with that shit nowadays.
No. And who writes that?
Yeah.
Who went, yeah, that's going to have that punch, that oomph. That's that good final one-liner.
And it wasn't like 1965. This is 1989. This is like in the middle of the AIDS crisis going on,
yes.
Right? It's like everybody knows homosexuality is kind of becoming accepted. People know what they are.
That's horrible.
It's not cool.
No, not at all. And I mean, just so many levels of what you're doing with that comment and why.
Yeah.
It was horrible. But then, yes, that there's this sequence that goes way too long of things getting all like out of whack and blah blah blah, and and finally it's her and her brother in the woods.
Yeah,
which can I want to go back for a second before
yeah,
we get
because
to that.
We kind of glossed
we're
over
glossing
the,
over
the elf rape scene almost.
I guess that's what it was.
That was what I pulled away from it.
Because he's running
the
his
intention
hand
was,
up her leg,
yeah,
and she's pushing it down, but then like. Too weak, and he ends up getting his hand
yeah.
up there on her thighs.
And there's a lot of like close-ups of her and the elf,
and
like
the
looking
elf.
At each other. Or,
but
you know,
looking at each other.
She's like wincing in pain, but we don't know what's happening. It's like the last scene of Braveheart.
But then a roach walks across yeah. a leaf, and he grabs it and takes a bite out of it, and then offers her some.
What a mood breaker! Old romantic though. You gotta hand it to those
but,
elves.
But then yeah, like I guess. It's just weird the way it was angled, though, because
yeah.
it felt like he was more to her side
right.
than he was, like, in front of her or in her. And so I kind of don't get how that happened. But at the same time, I could tell, like, the way she's acting,
she's being
stuff's happening. Yeah, stuff's happening right now.
And that's how we know in the credits sequence.
The credits, well, yeah, everything kind of settles down and it cuts to credits and then, like, open up on a fetus.
Goom, goom.
It's goom, just goom. A fetus and, goom, goom. Yeah, a heartbeat and the credits start going.
It's creepy.
It's so creepy.
And you're like, oh, so the fucking elf fucked the virgin.
The elf fucked the
and
virgin.
Now they're going to make the master race. And,
yes.
Elves
and so,
too, the
so
master race.
So that's why I like to think that Dan Haggerty, maybe we could get him on board, Joel. You and I are filmmakers.
Let's do...
Let's make elves. Let's talk to whatever the hell this guy's name was. John whatever.
Jeff, yeah, whatever.
And
Jeff Mandel.
Jeff Mandel.
Yeah.
Let's find out if we can get the rights... to elves and make Elves 2 and get Dan Haggerty on board before he dies.
Listen, I think you're aiming low. We need to make this a trilogy. Let's hobbitize this motherfucker.
Yeah.
And we're going to stretch this story out. This is going to be the Elves trilogy.
Where would we go
Dan
with
Haggerty.
This? Where would we go? Do we
well,
do we
clearly,
pull an Iron Sky and like there's like an actual like community of Nazis waiting for this to come to pass?
I think that's in part 3. Part 2 I think is all about her. We open up and she's pregnant and she's it's all like a Twilight where she's about to give birth to this
and
elf.
And maybe and it, another elf shows up and is trying to like protect her and the baby.
Ooh, a good elf. I like
yeah.
that. Oh, so it's almost Terminator 2-ish.
A little Terminator 2-ish.
The good elf versus the bad elf.
Uh-huh.
Ah.
Yeah.
He could be like the Captain America. Elf.
But that she can, like, she's convinced that she can raise this baby and it won't bring about the end of the world. Maybe bring a little bit of Looper
like
into
Looper,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he won't be that way.
We've already made a better story than what we watched.
Well, before we get to the sequels, because we can plan those ourselves, but
yes.
if we had to remake this movie, Joe,
uh-huh.
this is always my favorite part.
Yeah, you like to bring this.
I do. Have you thought about recasting Elves
yes, I
for
have.
Our remake?
I have.
Well, let's hear it.
Dan Haggerty would be Zach Galifianakis.
Yes.
That would immediately...
Is this a comedy now, though?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I think that I'd like to still make it as like this weird horror Christmas movie.
Yeah. Gremlins-ish.
Zach Galifianakis as Dan Haggerty.
Love it.
You know what? Whoever Julie is, pick someone. Piper Perabo will be Julie.
All right.
I don't care. You pick anybody with a face.
Well, first of all, Piper Perabo is a talent, all right? He's grade A talent.
I've worked with Piper Perabo. You're
Have
not
you
going to
really?
Fool me on that. Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah,
too bad.
It was a movie called Slapper, She's French. Yeah. It was a long time ago.
You mean Coyote Ugly's Piper Perabo?
Yes.
Not Oscar material?
Yes. Looney Tunes Back in Action's Piper Perabo.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I would probably pick her as Julie.
All right.
And I would probably, for the grandfather, Zach Galifianakis.
Ooh, doing like an Eddie Murphy type thing where he plays both roles?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that.
I would get the puppet from Thanksgiving to be the troll.
Yes! Oh, it's fantastic. With the voice and everything?
Could we...
Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
I know you wanted to wait. Can we, for the sequels, make a turkey versus the elf?
Crossover.
Yeah.
I love it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's my
that's
casting.
Entertaining.
That's
like
my
that.
Casting
like
for the movie. How about you?
I think we're very similar, kind of on the same page. You know, I talked about the Big Lebowski earlier and how Dan Haggerty kind of has that feel. So I think this is a Jeff Bridges role comeback.
Oh, my God.
He can basically just don the same costume and do the same voice as Dan Haggerty. He can emote. He can be a sincere and caring. So I like Jeff Bridges as in the Dan Haggerty character. Kristen was her name.
Kristen.
Not
Kirsten.
Julie. It was Kirsten.
It was Kirsten.
All right. Well, maybe that's why I've decided to cast Kirsten Dunst in the role. She kind of looks like her, too. She's kind of got the lazy eye. And no offense to Kirsten Dunst. Great talent. But she looks like she could have been inbred, if you know what I'm saying.
I got you.
Maybe Grandpa went on Mom.
I got you.
And now we have Sleep with a Vampire. What's the name of that movie?
Interview with a Vampire.
Interview with a Vampire. Yeah, there we go. So Kirsten Dunst in the title role.
Uh-huh.
Not the title role. not the elf.
Why not?
Sorry.
Why not, though?
For Grandpa, and I know I go to this well way too often, but he's
Kevin
just
Hart.
A talent. Mila Kunis. No, Christoph Waltz.
Do you know that I've got, we are now being restricted on using certain actors?
Yeah, we have to.
Sarah listens. Yeah. And
hi, Sarah. Get well.
She said, I can't remember if she said she's actually doing it or if she's thinking of keeping a running tally for every time we've brought up Kevin Hart or Mila Kunis. She's like, those are now under restriction. You can't use them anymore.
That's our New Year's, that's our 2014 resolution. No more casting Mila Kunis.
So if you couldn't use Christoph Waltz,
oh, fuck.
Where would you go?
Oh, man. I need like an old. Peter Falk's dead, isn't he? Oh, shit. We reanimate Peter Falk, and he's the Nazi grandfather, the Nazi incest grandfather.
Or Jerry Stiller.
Ooh!
Maybe you can get Jerry Stiller.
I know, but I'd be too sad when he died. I think for the mother, like somebody who's kind of, creepy and the evil mom, I like Laura Dern in that role.
Laura Dern!
She's kind of tall, so she's imposing, and she's got a bit of crazy in her. I'm not sure if you've ever seen her in interviews, but... Kind of nuts.
She's a little nuts.
I believe her drowning a cat.
Oh my God!
So Laura Dern, and then as the head Nazi, you know that he's kind of the leader of the Nazis.
Wow, you cast way more of this than I did.
I just have two more. Head Nazi. How about we get De Niro for this? Because that guy, if you go back and watch that, the voice that he's using, he's kind of got this voice going on, and I'm a Nazi, but I don't have a German
I believe that
accent.
These guys were neither gangsters nor Nazis.
No, yeah.
In this whole movie.
The least threatening villains.
Yeah.
And next to that troll thing, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
So finally in the title role
as the elf,
Peter Dinklage. From Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones. We get him. Maybe a little bit of makeup. Maybe not. Maybe that's just what the elves look like.
Oh, my God.
But I'd like to see him, like, you know, slashing.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank
All
you.
Right.
That's fun.
All right. So the second set of our questions.
Oh.
What did this movie do right?
Oh, man. We talk a lot of shit about Dan Haggerty, but when you put everybody side by side... I just want to give him a big hug. Like, he's just so lovable, and I know he's talking under his breath, but I like to think that's more of cinema verite. Like, he's really going for a stylistic, like, this is almost documentary.
I don't think
this
Jeff Mandel ever heard of cinema verite.
I think you're right. I really liked Dan Haggerty and was genuinely concerned for him when he was fighting Nazis at the end. So kudos to you, Dan Haggerty, your magnum opus.
What did it do wrong?
Okay, I started to get to this earlier, but it's how you make things scary, how you make them creepy. And one way to not do it is to just cut to a shot of your elf puppet in full light, like just looking, not moving. Like it was so, I know.
It looked like one of those things from The Gate. Did you ever see that movie, The Gate?
yeah,
little guys running around and stuff. It looked like they got one of those models.
One of those guys, but if he had Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And like his mouth was just constantly agape because, you know, they can't move the puppet. So it's like your puppet can't even, first of all, it's 2 feet tall. He's moving like molasses. He's slow motherfucker.
Uh-huh.
And he's got that dumb look on his face the entire time. It's not frightening at all. So just, you know, work a little bit on how to make things. Sometimes less is more. And in this case, less was less.
I would have to say what I thought this movie did the best was, I don't know. I really,
nothing.
I think, oh God. No, I can't. I really can't think of anything that this movie did well.
No redeeming value.
Other than
for
the
you.
Fact that, all right, I will say this.
How about the twists and turns?
The movie was so ridiculous.
Unpredictable.
What I like, yeah, unpredictable. Like, there were so many things that I couldn't predict because they were lunacy.
There's no point in
it
trying to connect the dots.
Ridiculous. There's no way you could have made these leaps in, yep. like, what? 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 Why?
I was
what?
Genuinely shocked when we found out that the whole incest side story.
Yes. So, yeah, there was that. I guess that's what the movie did best. It just, it was so off the wall and random, I couldn't look away because I didn't know what was going to happen. What it did the worst was that there was no point really for anything. Like, they never take the time to set anything up properly, and thus there's never really an attempt to pay anything off.
Yeah.
So the whole time when you're watching it, if you're watching it from a narrative perspective, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
There's honestly only probably 7 minutes of story in this movie.
But you're right.
7 minutes of stuff that's actually linked together that forms the elves. Elves supposed to mate with Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
Nazi supposed to be this girl who's part of the master race.
Yeah.
It's inbred from the grandfather. And this is going to happen. We have to stop it.
Yeah.
Like, That's the core of the story of this movie, and you stick to that for only about, like I said, about 7 minutes. All the Dan Haggerty stuff. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like this.
Now
is,
I'm Santa.
Well, the thing is, when you bring a protagonist, no one in this movie goes through a change.
Yeah.
There's no
right.
evolution whatsoever. Nobody is different at the end than when they were at the beginning, except for the girl who's pregnant at the end. But that's not a character
change. It's a physiological change, yeah.
But, you know, Dan Haggerty, you build up that this guy is a recovering alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't play that in the story at all.
Yeah.
It never plays into the story. It's never paid off. There's no redemption for the character.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason for the character to have that flaw.
That's true. He's already basically recovered at the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
Like, we don't see that struggle. Well, you see the struggle of the aftermath of him trying to get a job and help out. But
that's and he's not for even, 10 seconds.
He's
and
not
then,
even really martyred at the end, right?
No.
He's still alive.
Uh-uh.
Ready
he?
For the sequels.
I guess he's still alive. He's alive for us. to put into the sequels. You're right. Exactly. It's frustrating. Like I said, it's a hilarious movie to watch.
Yeah.
Of the bad movies that we've watched, this one probably ranks up there as one of my favorites.
And I got to admit, it's nice to get back to like the horror. Like this like, is
like
bad
Birdemic
movies.
Bad.
This is Birdemic bad. This is Thanksgiving. This is C-movie horror schlock.
Right. Well, I mean, according to our listeners, that's going to sound weird because it's like, well, wait a minute. They just did Thanksgiving. What are they saying? It's nice to get back to it. But if you weren't paying attention to that podcast, Thanksgiving was actually like the second or third podcast we ever recorded.
We held it back.
Yeah, we held it back for a while.
It's seasonal.
I think in that podcast, we're still like, what are we going to call this podcast? and so, yeah, no, Thanksgiving was fun. It was bad. But yeah, it's been a long time since we've watched something that I enjoyed. Like, it was so bad, I enjoyed it. I wish it wasn't on YouTube because that was tough watching it on YouTube.
Well, you get yourself an Apple TV, you know, $99, or one of those Chromes, whatever they call it,
Chromecast
thing. $35, you can watch YouTube.
I was upset that I couldn't watch it on the YouTube app
well,
on my phone or
then here's
on
what
my
you
Xbox.
Do, Joe. Here's what you do. You go to change.org and you sign the petition to get this movie released
on DVD.
Seriously, there's a petition. I think it would be a nice little experiment. Everybody listening to this, go to change.org and find that Elves DVD petition.
All five people that
sign
listen to this podcast.
Yeah, but there's going to be like a huge spike like a week from now. What the fuck happened?
Seriously, tell your friends about this movie Elves and about this website that Joel's talking about.
Change.org.
And get the petition signed. If we can get this thing onto DVD, I know we're talking about, I really want to start doing our live shows.
Yeah.
And I think doing a group viewing of Elves would be absolutely stellar.
That is
I wouldn't
good.
Mind doing a live podcast and talking about this movie all over again,
mm-hmm.
but with some audience members chiming in on it.
And not have to worry
I think
about
another viewing, we'd be able to kind of delve a little bit more into.
Because there's a lot of subcontext
well,
in this
I
film.
I feel
huh?
like when you and I get together and talk about these movies, it's the first time we're kind of hashing it out.
Mm-hmm.
And we gloss over a lot of stuff.
I have a few things on my list still, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll save it for the next time.
There's a lot of stuff that we'd like to talk about. There's a lot of stuff that I'd like to hear from you, our listeners. So if you ever have any kind of thoughts on the movies that we've talked about, you can go ahead and go to our Facebook page. Let us know all about it. And, go to Facebook.com, put in the search bar the editing bay, mm-hmm. and you'll find us, the picture of the girl with her eyes bleeding. Very apropos for a lot of the movies that we've watched, yeah. especially this one.
Yeah.
But seriously, if you got the chance, go onto YouTube. I know on the Facebook page, I said if you put in Dan Haggerty Elves VHS, that brings up the video yeah. that's the complete movie.
It's like an hour, 38 minutes.
Watch this thing. If you've got time, a lazy weekend, a lazy evening, watch this movie. It is bananas. It's so ridiculous. And then let us know what you think about it. And seriously, tell your friends about the editing bay.
Yeah.
We would love to get our listenership up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And also, kind of share this experience because, like I said, when we start doing these live shows, we'd kind of like to fill some seats.
Yeah.
So, tell your friends about the editing bay. Let us know what you think about these movies and let us know what you want us to watch and talk about next.
Holidays are over, right? We've got to move on to normal bad films.
Normal shit. So, until then, my name is Joe.
And I'm Joel.
And we'll catch you later.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
That's fucking gold.